Good evening, everybody. And tonight is Good Friday. And I was expecting a lot of people to be away. before I came, and actually Ajahn Brahm said I have a choice whether I choose to give a talk today, this Friday, because it's Good Friday. And if I'm going to give a talk next Friday, and it will be a bad Friday. So, and I told him, okay, since I have a choice, so I choose a Good Friday. So actually I have a request that today to give a talk about have loving kindness towards oneself. And this person requests that because they hurt a lot, Ajahn Brahm about loving kindness. And but they would like to have from the female monastic, the perspective, how they approach this loving kindness. Because it's, we are definitely different. Female and male is different. How female approach this loving kindness, practice loving kindness, and male is different. It's totally different. So today, I would like to talk about how to practice this loving kindness, especially towards oneself. So I would like to start with a quote from this Tikka Nikaya, the suttas. So when the Buddha's going to pass away, and his Mahaparinibbana suttas, and Ananda, his attendant, he was very sad, and he's, went back to his kuti, and he's weeping, he's very sad, and he cried. And Buddha asked, where is Ananda? And they said, okay, because Ananda is very sad, because Ananda, he's still a Sotapanna, he's not enlightened yet. And they said, oh, because of Ananda's very sad, and he went back to his heart, and he's weeping. And the Buddha said, please ask him to come and see me. So the Buddha asked, and Ananda come to Buddha. So the Buddha said to Ananda, Ananda, leave an island unto yourself. You take yourself as your own refuge. No one else as your refuge. So he said that, I have been teaching you all the teaching. It's all there. All this year I have teach you. So now you all need to do that. You have to put into practice. You have to help yourself. The teacher can only show the way. Ultimately, we are the one who free ourselves, who liberate ourselves, and no one else can help us. And, we come into this world alone. We don't bring anyone with us. So when we leave this world alone, so who is going to hold our hand when the moment comes? If we don't even care for our own well-being, so our own well-being is the priority. We have to take care of our own well-being. And to have this love, loving kindness and compassion towards ourselves. Talk about the priority. Our own well-being is the priority. So it's talk about the priority, and it's remind me of a joke. And because, one of my anagarikas, she said to me, oh, when bahasa panya, your joke is really bad though. At one point, I was quite serious. I always, give a talk about the suttas, and I didn't crack any jokes. And she missed it. She said, please, when bahasa panya, don't stop. Don't stop the bad jokes. So she missed it. So actually, this joke is not that bad. Actually, it's quite appropriate regarding priority, what we think is the most important things in life. So this story goes like that. A man, and he got a ticket into this grand final. And it's, very difficult to get the ticket into this grand final. And he was so lucky, he was so happy, that he's so fortunate that he got the ticket into this grand final. And he went in there, he got his seat. It's a perfect seat. I know someone sitting behind there is perfect. And this person, he's showing me that it's perfect. And this person, and he was so happy that he just couldn't believe he got a very nice seat. Then he sat down. and he looked around. The seat next to him is vacant. Then he said, you know, it's just impossible. How come it's vacant? Because it's so difficult to get the ticket. Then he asked the man next to him, do you know there is anyone sitting next to me? Then the man said, no. So how do you know there's no one sitting next to you? And he said, yes, I know, because I'm supposed to come with my wife, and she just passed away a few days ago. Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. But he was so happy that he couldn't get over it. Then he just said that, you know, it's a shame that, you know, the seat vacant. It's so difficult to get the ticket. Then he said, can you find someone to replace your wife? You know, it's a shame to leave the seat empty, vacant. Then the man said, no, I can't find anyone. Because, she said, no, how about your friends or your relatives? No, I can't find any of my friends and relatives because they're all at the funeral. So, to someone that is, you know, footy is so is important, you know, for them, it's grand final, it's much more important than anything else. So, that's why we have to know the priorities and look after ourselves. Like all of you here, instead of going somewhere else, you choose to come here. And to you, is the priority is the Dhamma. It's a wholesome thing. So it's important we know that this is the most important thing, that is take care of ourselves. If we don't look after ourselves, who is going to look after ourselves? If we can't look after ourselves, you know, we do not expect others to look after ourselves. So the most emphasis, you know, to practice this loving kindness, that is, start from within ourselves. Start from ourselves first. So we work with the openness, the connectedness, and the recognition that is the goodness within ourselves. And the Buddha said, you can't find, you know, the whole, and you can't find someone, you know, that you can search the whole entire world to find someone that is really deserve your love, your care, more than yourself. That someone cannot be found. There's no one that to deserve your love. That is yourself. You are the one who deserve your own love, your compassion, your care, than anyone else. So practice this loving kindness, you know, without the foundation. You have the love within oneself, and you will experience a sense of like less of self-esteem. And like, you know, less of the self-worth, like I the worthiness, I doesn't, you know, I'm terrible. And sometimes we tend to make ourselves, put ourselves down and making other people big. And that's why we have to have this loving kindness within ourselves first. That's why it's very important. Whatever we practice, we take up any practice. To me, I always base on the four principles. The first principle is why is it important that I do, to practice this loving kindness towards oneself. And I have to understand what, you know, understand this loving kindness. What is loving kindness? Whatever you take out any practice, you have to know what it is. It's just like the products, you know. You buy something, you have to know why you need it, you know. And then you know to you have to know what is this product is all about. And you have to understand that. And then you have to know how to do it, how to apply it. And what you can get out of it. What is the benefit of this? So you have to base on these four principles. So the first one is important. We have to look after ourselves. Because towards the end of our life, you know, if we are not at ease and at peace with ourselves, because we are the one who have to move on to the next journey. It's no one, if we can't stand ourselves, then it's very bad, because we ourselves, our own mind is our own intimate companion. We take this with us. We take our karma with us. So that's why it's important. Why you start with oneself? And another, the next step is, the next principle is, what is loving kindness? So loving kindness is to cultivate, you know, for oneself, the experience of unconditional love within oneself. You generate that within oneself. You know, you look at your own loveliness, your own goodness within yourself, and you reteach yourself. And you have that, you generate that, you experience the unconditional love within yourself first. And this loving kindness is not technique to repress one's life pains or your emotion, afflictive emotions, is not to use the loving kindness, because a lot of people think, oh, I need some loving kindness, and then you try to, doesn't work that way. You think that I try to use loving kindness to get rid of my anger. It doesn't work that way, because you can't get rid of the anger. So the Buddha said you can never appease anger by anger, because you try to get rid of things. We can't get rid of things. We can't get rid of the anger. So it's not a technique to repress ourselves. That's why we have the understanding. So, and also we have to base on the understanding that, you know, everyone in the world, you know, just want to be happy. Every single being, including ourselves. And sometimes we tend to exclude ourselves. We think that the other people is more important than we do. And sometimes we create that, you know, we identify ourselves being kind, being compassionate. And I have a friend, and she's very kind. And she's, you know, she's very helpful, and she have all the time for everyone except herself. And she's so helpful to anyone, everyone, but except herself. And she's, you know, she's very like, you know, this loving kindness is not like that you try to go out to knock on other people's door, like, you know, knock on other people's door. You need loving kindness, you know, you need help. But actually, it's a way to opening our heart. It's like to opening our barriers, you know, like this loving kindness is like, to melt down the barriers within ourselves and others. We used to identify ourselves. This is me and our immediate family, our extended family is still me and still mine. And my country and still me and mine. And that is a barrier. So that is a separation between ourselves and others. And I remember when some years ago when I was in Singapore, and someone come up to me and said to me, she said, you know, I try to practice loving kindness, I try to send loving kindness so hard, I try so hard sending this loving kindness, and I become so exhausted after the end of the meditation. Then I said, you have nothing to give. Actually, loving kindness is just melting the barriers between you and others. Actually, you're opening the door of your heart. You allow people to come to you and not to be so needy to go up to grab people that I'm trying to help you, I'm a kind person. It's not. But you're opening your heart. You allow people to come in. There's no barrier. There's no separation. That is what it means, loving kindness. And this friend, she's been identified herself as being a kind person so much, and she has no time for herself, and she's got so exhausted and so stressed out, and it's just like you know, she like to knock on people's doors, like, do you need loving kindness? Do you need some compassion? And some people might say, oh yeah, yes, please, I want one of those loving kindness or one of those compassion, and some people say, they say, oh no, some polite one, they say, oh no, thank you. And some, they're not polite one, they say, they will slam the door, no, thank you, they slam the door. So this is how, like, she's the way she complained to me, like, you know, I've been so kind and sometimes not being appreciated. And I said, you're being so needy. I said, it's nothing wrong being kind and being compassionate, but you have to have the wisdom. And it remind me when I was in Malaysia, and I was visiting one of the temple, and they asked me to speak to a group of children. It's about 10 of them. So I was telling them the Jakarta tales, you know, about the monkey story. This story is about the gardeners, because there's a festive season. He want to go back to visit the family, and but he can't go back because he need to look after the garden. He need to water the garden, and he need to take care of the garden because the plants need watering. So, and this monkey, because in the garden there's a group of monkey living around, you know, the garden. So this monkey is very kind. He said, okay, you know, I can help you to water the plant, and then you can go back to see your families, you know. And, you know, you just leave it to me. So, okay, well, you know, since you volunteered to help me, okay. So this gardener went back to see the family. So this group of monkey, they started to water the plant. They said, oh, how are we going to water the plant? How much water should we put into this plant? And some of them said, oh, we better save water, if not, not enough of water, you know. For all these days, you know, we need to cut the water to water the plants. So in order to save the water, we better pull out the plants and look at the roots, how deep it is. If it's deeper one, we put more water. If the root is more shallow, so we put less. So of course, all the plants die. So when I tell these stories and I ask the questions, I ask the kids, and I said, what's wrong with this monkey? Is it wrong to be kind, to be helpful, to be compassionate? He said, no. I said, what's wrong with that? And I was so impressed. One little girl is about 8 years old, and she put out her hand. She said, because this monkey have no wisdom. And I was so impressed, 8 years old girl. And I mean, sometimes like kindness and compassion without the wisdom can become very destructive. They say it's very important that you have the right understanding that what is loving kindness. You know, sometimes we tend to identify ourselves with being kind and being loving, being gentle. And sometimes we just care for anyone else except ourselves. And they have no kindness towards ourselves. And actually we've been identified who we are, the image of who we are. They say it's important to have the right understanding. To start with, to know what is loving kindness. Loving kindness is that is the unconditional love. So you have to feel within yourself first. You have to have the feel of, you know, this loving kindness within oneself. And it's important. And it's remind me that, you know, this loving kindness, you know, opposite of loving kindness, that is anger, hatred. So the Buddha said, greed is less blamable. And he said, hatred is blamable. And delusion is very blamable. But he said, the first one, greed, is less blamable and is very difficult to remove. And the hatred is blamable, but it's easy to remove. The delusion is very blamable and is very difficult to remove. So that's why not to worry if you have a loss of anger. Doesn't matter because it's easy to remove. So because we don't want to be an angry person, isn't it? Because you feel unpleasant. Then you try to work with that. You try to work with these unpleasant feelings. And because that's why the opposite of loving kindness, that is hatred, anger. And that's why people try to work with that, because all of us want to be an angry person. And also remind me another story about a monk, because he had a loss of anger. And he wanted to practice metta, you know, loving kindness, to overcome his anger. So he spent a few years on an island and in solitude, seclusion, to practice loving kindness. And after a few years, he come back. He said, I'm now no more anger. I do not feel angry anymore. So his fellow monastic and started to test him out. He said, how do you know that you have no anger? I know through my own practice, after all this year of practice, I know that I have no anger anymore. I do not believe you that you have no anger. And how do you know? He said, I know for myself, you know, all this year. Then he said, oh no, I don't believe you. And he kept on, you know, pestering, you know, how do I know? How do I know? Maybe you're just a hypocrite, you know. How do I know that you really have no anger? He said, yes, I know through my own experience that I have no anger. And this fellow monastic wouldn't let him go. And he keeps asking him, how do I know they have no anger? Then he said, through my own experience, I know that I have no anger. So that's why we can test someone, you know. There's at least, you know, that this person don't when he's angry, he didn't even know that he's angry. And actually remind me of a little girl some years, sometimes ago, I mean, her mother asked her to come to talk to me. Then he's about 15. Then I asked her, what's your problem? And I look at her, I said, what's your problem? He said, I'm a very angry person. I have lots of anger. And I always get upset with my sister. I'm so angry with her. And I look at her, I said, oh, very good. And she was so surprised. She looked at me. Why? I said that it's very good. Actually, said, you know, sometimes like, I told her, you know what the Buddha said? The Buddha said, if a fool know that he is a fool, he's still wise to the extent. If a fool think that he's wise, he's indeed a fool. I said, at least you recognize that. You recognize that this is something that you have to work with. And you take delight in that. And I encourage her that we acknowledge it. We not try to push it away and try to deny. But we acknowledge that. You know, that's, we have this anger. This is something that we need to work with. There's like this hatred, anger, that is the far enemy of loving kindness, because we can really see because it's far. But one of the enemies of this loving kindness that is very subtle, that is very, very difficult to remove, and that is the near enemy of loving kindness, that is attachment. We can't see the attachment. That is, we attach to ourselves. And in the world, we think that attachment is love. If we attach someone enough, that means we love that person so much. Actually, it's not. And that's why sometimes, because we attach to someone, and you can see sometimes some couples, they love their wife so much. When the wife left them, they kill their wife. Because come from the attachment, the same intensity. You know, when the intensity of the attachment give rise to the same intensity of the ill will, because you can't get what you want. You lost someone. This is what you want, your desires. And the same intensity, if that is attachment, then we think that we should, for example, like our loved one passed away, we think that we feel guilty if we don't feel sad. We think that we should feel sad, we should feel grieve. I mean, it's, we identify that we have this attachment. Sometimes we attachment to ourselves more than anyone else. And that's why that is not loving kindness. That's why a lot of people think that when I talk about, oh, priority, you have to look at after yourself first. You have to loving kindness towards yourself. But it's not the attachment towards ourselves. And it's remind me some years ago, and I talked to my family. And that day I went back to my heart. And my mind was just go on and on and on, because I was quite upset with one of my siblings. So I wasn't happy with what she's doing. So then I was in my heart, my mind just go on and on, that what's terrible things, you know, I think that she's not right, she shouldn't have done this, and blah, blah, blah. Half a night, and then suddenly I just realized that, I just asked myself, hang on a minute. So actually you don't love her. And I asked myself, if I really love my sibling, whatever she do, I accept her unconditionally, whatever she have done. But actually, as I started to investigate, I look more. I investigate, you know, why I feel that way. Actually, I realized that actually I attach to myself much more than my sister, my sibling, you know. And actually, I attach to my own views and opinions. My views think that it's not right. And I got then give rise to this self-righteousness. It's wrong. You know, this is attachment to our own view. Who we, you know, our opinions. This is ourself. We identify ourselves. Because it's so close and so subtle. And we can't see it because it's too close. And who we take ourselves, you know, as, you know. I remember when I started to practice and I started to investigate and started to look at myself. And I realized that, oh, actually I'm not that kind, I'm not that compassionate that I think I am, you know. I'm not. And at the beginning, I felt really bad, you know. I felt, oh, I feel so awful, you know. I feel so bad about myself that actually I'm not that kind that I think I am, you know. And then it's just, I just couldn't let it go. And it's just been obsessed, you know, disturbed my mind. And after a while, I have enough suffering. I said, come on, just admit it that you're not that kind, that compassionate. So we just acknowledge that. To accept that it's not a matter of denying, you know. But you just, you know, yes, you know, I'm still have these defilements. I still have attachment, and that's why sometimes why people have this self hatred. So the opposite of having loving kindness to oneself, that is self hatred. So self hatreds will never sustain. So for example, if we practice morality, you know, and without this loving kindness, you know, towards ourselves, with a lot of self-hatred, and it becomes a rigid repressing ourselves, you know, we repression is not, then we started to have this fault-finding mind. We find fault with ourselves, we are not good enough. Instead of the rules, for example, like the monastic need to keep our rules. So we practice it, you know, as a tool to help ourselves, to free ourselves, but it's not to judge ourselves. Because we are not enlightened. So it's just being, you know, the quality of an enlightened being. So we make mistakes. Of course, sometimes we still get upset, we get angry, and then sometimes we be a bit cranky and be grumpy, you know. So it's all right. So sometimes because of our own ego, we think that it shouldn't be there, you know. It's nothing wrong with what we are experiencing right now, but how we relate to it, because we expect ourselves to be, you know, we all think that we are all better than anyone else. And then, and one of the way to help us to have this loving kindness towards ourselves, that is to come to a place of acceptance. We'll be able to accept ourselves. But it's very difficult. That is one of the way that is also to have this forgiveness, to be able to forgive ourselves. But sometimes we find that it's very difficult to forgive ourselves. And I noticed that, you know, in the early years, I find that it's very easy for me to forgive others. And I find it very difficult to forgive myself. And I started to investigate why. And actually, I realized that it's come from my sense of self, because it's that, you know, it's all right other people to make mistakes. Okay, I forgive you, but not myself. I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm supposed to be better. So that's why it's come from the sense of self. So the stronger sense of self, then this hatred, the self-hatred is stronger. That is to come from the attachment. So it's very subtle, and it's very difficult to be able to catch, you know, because it's so subtle and to work with. And that's why it's very important. There are lots of ways, you know, to have a few skillful means that you can work with, how to work with this attachment towards oneself, and also have this self-hatred towards oneself. And because of the attachment towards ourselves, that's why it gives rise to self-hatred, the same intensity. So if someone that is very self-centered, and because of we are focused on ourselves too much, so, you know, we only think of ourselves. Then when we think of ourselves, focus on ourselves, our problem becomes very big. So, and sometimes we tend to make it a problem. Actually, it's not a problem at all. And I remember, and it's manifest. I remember when I was, many years ago, I was still a lay person. And that's my first meditation retreat. So I went for this first meditation retreat. And the first day, it's all right. The second day and the third day, I started to feel really painful. My whole body is painful. I can't sit. And the moment I sat down, it's so painful. And okay, well, I can't sit. So I walk. And you know, in Malaysia, those meditation retreat is not so comfortable like Jhana Grove. You know, you can't even have a chair to sit. And I was so painful, then I started to walk. When I walk, and I feel so heavy, my leg. I can't even lift my leg. It's so heavy, I can't walk. And it's like a ton's heavy, I can't lift my, and I have this slot on top. And I started to say, what am I going to do? I can't see, I can't walk, and I can't go back to my room to sleep because no one doing that. And I was thinking, oh, I can't, because so painful. I said, oh, I can't tolerate anymore. I was really in tears. Then I said, I can't go back because all my friends, everybody knows that I'm going for a retreat. And I said, I shouldn't have told them I'm going for a retreat, you know. I can't let them know that halfway I withdraw, you know. It's just embarrassed. So what am I going to do, you know? I was really full of tears. I said, what am I going to do? Then I said that. Then that moment, I just like, okay, I have no choice. Okay, let the pain take my life. I just allowed the pain take my life. So I just threw away all the cushions. I have 5 cushions, you know. I have here, 3 on my buttock. I'm still feel pain. It's really terrible pain, you know. I can't even touch the ground. Okay, threw all the cushion away. I said, okay, let the pain take my life. Let me die out of the pain. It's all right. So I sat with no cushions. Actually, so it's amazing that the moment I sat down, because the moment I let go, and actually, just a split second, actually, the pain all gone. I didn't feel the pain at all. And then all in a sudden, the mind is so become so peaceful and calm. I be able to focus, and I have lots of joy and happiness. So bliss out, and actually, this is how we manifest. Actually, the pain is there, but the more we try to let go, the more we try to get rid of the pain, it's manifest. It's become so unbearable. It's the same too. If we focus a lot on our pain, it's manifest. It becomes until a point that it's unbearable. We think that we're going to kill ourselves. This is how sometimes people think that, you know, they can't bear anymore and they commit suicide. And we are not, it's not that I'm judging on people that commit the suicide, because we can never comprehend the intensity of the suffering that person undergone. But this is how the tricky of the mind is very tricky, the tricky business, because sometimes you make it a problem and it's manifest, it's become so big. And that's like one of the way to help us is to take away the focus on ourselves so much. Then we practice like generosity. Like generosity is not only like you giving material things, but generosity is also an act of kindness. Instead of thinking of what we want, what we need, we thinking of what we can do for others, be of service, you know. And then what I can help. And it's not only giving material things, even those maybe some of you will say, oh, now you're talking about loving kindness, and then you go to generosity, and then they know that, oh, Dhammasara is building a sala hall, and what she's trying to hint. Actually, that is a whole path of practice. And actually, even you practice loving kindness, you have to take up the whole path of practice. That is the Noble Eightfold Path. That is Dana, Sila, you know, Bhavana, and Panya, the whole path. So sometimes it seems like no connection. There is connection. So we need to have to take away our focus on ourselves. And it also reminds me of one of the Achancha story that, you know, he used to speak to people after Dana. And of course, as usual, a lot of people go to him and complain to him about their problems, you know, what the problem they have, you know. And then he was very kind and patiently sitting there, listening to all the people's problems. And a man came in, you know, and he took a seat. He sit at the back, and then Ajahn Chah noticed this man come in, and he saw the man, and he asked the man, "What's wrong with you?" And the man said, "This morning, my wife went out to pick up those mushrooms, and he cooked it, and the 3 children and the wife, they ate it, and they all died." And when he said that, and everybody stopped, and because that compared to what this man had gone through and what they suffer is just nothing. And that's why this is how that we sometimes we focus too much on ourselves, become very self-centered. Then we think that we have lots of problems, we really make it a problem. Sometimes something is just very petty that we really make it a problem because the focus is manifest. And I remember when I shared this with one of the men when I was in Thailand. I live in one of these nunnery in the south. And there was a young man, that is about 28 years old. And he had this experience of he wanted to kill himself, that he saw so much pain and he just couldn't bear it. And because I talked to him, you know, and I share with him my experience, that how I said sometimes, yes, I said the pain is there, but actually it's not as bad that as because we manifest it, we make it that become unbearable. Actually, it's just, you know, pain. And I told him the story that, you know, that I have experienced. And I said, you know, when you just let it go, and, you know, you just I share with him. And then he told me that what happened to him. And I felt so happy that I'd be able to share with him the story. And he said to me that, again, that one night he had all this, because he had this tendency to suicide, because he can't bear the pain. Then again, he had that comes up, you know. And he remember what I said to him. Then he started to remind himself that not to focus on the pain. Then he started to, you know, to focus on that, you know, on his breath instead of to focus on his pain. Then when he started to take away his attention, pay attention on the pain, and on just on the breath itself, and he's just reminding himself, and the story that I have told him, and he just keep reminding himself that, you know, that not to manifest, not to focus on the pain itself. Then he started to put more attention on the breath. And then slowly he said that he said after a while, he suddenly feels so peaceful and so calm. And he said he never experienced that peace before. And it's really helped him. He said that when I share with him my story, they say sometimes like it gives me lots of joy that at least I share this and it's helped someone. And after that, he told me that it's really helping him, that because he understand that actually is that the pain is not that unbearable. Actually, he make it a problem, he make it big. They say it's important to take away we focus too much on ourselves. Become so self-centeredness. So that's like one of the way to practice generosity. And also another way to practice, we reflect on our own goodness, you know. So our loveliness, to look at our own goodness. And if you can't find anything good about yourself, it doesn't matter. You still can wish yourself well, because loving kindness is that, you know, you accept, you unconditionally, you love yourself. Even though, okay, poor old mind, you're cranky, you're grumpy, oh, it doesn't matter, I still love you. You still stand yourself good wishes, I still love you. It's unconditional love. Because then this is, you know, it's just, you just reflect on the goodness, because you give yourself a sense of like self-confidence and self-respect towards yourself. And this is one of the way. And another way of working with this practices loving kindness, because not only on the sitting on the cushions, or may I be well, may I be happy. Actually, in our daily life, it's important that we try to pay attention to our sensations, our feelings, because actually that our emotions, our mind state. Actually, said they have manifest in our body. So how we feel. So because our emotion is quite difficult to work with, because it's more subtle. All this mental phenomenons, the lust, the anger, you know, the greed, that is more subtle. Those emotion is difficult to work with. So we work with the more coarser object, that is to pay attention to our feelings, our sensations. That is like whether we feel tense, or we feel sometimes when we feel when we have fear, or we have this panic attacks. So how we feel like, sometimes you can feel there is a tension in the chest. Then you just pay attention, be with their feelings. How is it feel like right now? So then, that's right, then you are in the present moment of awareness. You're experiencing this moment. So don't try to, a lot of people when they meditate, and because they have all this emotion, this especially these afflictive emotions obsess them, and they can't meditate, and they try to analyze, you know, oh, what is this, or I might have this, maybe come from my childhood, maybe this and maybe that. Actually, this is not, you don't do that, because you are analyzing, you are not meditating, you are not in the press, you are not in the present moment of awareness. Actually, you are aware, you are not experiencing what you are experiencing now. So actually, it's always good to go back to the feelings. The feeling is a causal object. So you just pay attention to your feelings. Then sometimes that after that, when your feelings, you know, your feelings that subside, then you can start to, when that subside, you feel more calm and peaceful. Then you'll be able to know where is it coming from. So that's why it's very important that we pay attention to that. Sometimes like when the anger comes, normally they won't just come. Sometimes they manifest in our body first. So that's why it's good that we be more in touch with our body. And it's also easy to work with. It's a more causal object to work with, easier to work with. Is then we pay attention. So I remember that in year 2002, end of December, before I go back to Malaysia, because I know that my father, he was dying. And because before my father died, my mother passed away a few years before my father passed away. Then I know how is it like that to see your loved one dying, and you just so helpless, you can't do anything about it. And it's very painful, and I know how is it like, it's so painful. So, and because of the past experience, it's colored my feelings, my perceptions, you know, because we, you know, this moment actually, after a few years later, actually is different. But because of my past experience, it's affected how I react, you know, to my emotions, my feelings right now. So because this is how I was suppressing my feelings, suppressing that the sadness, that the fear, because I have this fear to I don't want to face the pain because it's painful. Then I become like I run away, I suppressing my emotion. So I feel my chest is so painful when I sit in meditation. My chest is really painful, it's terribly painful. And I don't know why that is this painful. And it's so tight. And it's go on for a few days. And then when we started, you know, tea time, we're talking about, you know, how, you know, you come to monastic life and how difficult it is. And, you know, and I started to, actually, when the topic that we were saying actually is nothing to do with what the emotion that I have, you know, actually, it's just a trigger. Actually, it's nothing to do with that. And I just trigger off. And I suddenly, all my tears is just come. I just couldn't stop crying. And when I just, all this come out. And I started, when I calm down, I started to investigate a lot. And I realized that actually, I've been suppressing my emotion, my feelings. That's why it's important that you pay attention to your feelings, your sensations, and you just sit there, you just let that subside. Then when that cease, after the meditation, you can investigate. But not when you are meditating, you don't start to work out, try to figure out why I have these feelings, why I feel that. So this is some of the skillful means that you can help, you know, in your daily life. And another skillful means that you can, you know, in everyday life, to try to maintain that bodily act of kindness, loving kindness, you know, to do something that, you know, each day you think of something that is good to do, you know, bodily actions, to cultivate that. It's not necessary that you have to sit on the meditation cushion. And also with the kind words, like maintain to have this verbally act of loving kindness, you know, say something that is gentle, something that is not abusive, that bring people together, and also mentally bring up the thoughts of loving kindness and a wholesome thoughts. The Buddha said that in one of the suttas, the Buddha did mention that how our mind, that we condition the mind, because if someone has lots of negativities, negative thoughts, and they incline that way, because it becomes a mental habit, habitual pattern. So each time we reinforce that, we have that negative thoughts, then we reinforce, it becomes stronger and stronger. So we actively, you know, bring a thoughts of loving kindness, you know. So every day we do it. So I know that sometimes it's very difficult. I remember I told one of my relatives, she's had lots of suffering because of she being abused by her husband. And she said that she knows that it's no good for her to have lots of ill will towards her husband, her ex-husband, because she said that she don't want to die with that ill will. So even though this man have abused her, but she really don't want to have ill will towards him, because she know that it's no good for herself. She want to die with, peace, you know, calm. So then I told her, I said, you don't have to send loving kindness towards your ex-husband, but you wish yourself, may I have no ill will towards my husband. You know, you don't have to. I know that it's difficult. Someone abuse you, you try to send your loving kindness, it's difficult. But at least we can send good wishes to ourselves. May I have no ill will towards this person, rather than try to have loving kindness towards that person. So there's lots of skillful means that we can use in our daily life to help us to work with this, to have this loving kindness, to actively cultivate. So the first of all, we have to have this love, care, warm within ourselves. You know, sometimes it's a lot of people think that, you know, practice loving kindness, they have to sit, you know, on the cushions, that may I be well and be happy. So, and then as I look back, I remember some years ago, and someone said to me, she said, oh, I'm very, you know, I'm a very irritated person. I feel so irritated. I have lots of irritations. And I find it so difficult. I'm so agitated. So I said, when I was a teenager, I used to have that, you know. I feel agitated. I feel irritated a lot. Then I said, after, you know, when I give birth to my son, then I said that irritation gone, because I have that love to my son, the unconditional love towards my son. And then I said, I have less agitation. And then she asked me, is this means that I have to get married and have children? Then I said, no. I said, you don't have to do that. So, and it's just I trying to say that sometimes we've been practicing loving kindness, but it's not that we do not identify that, oh, now I'm sitting, now I'm practicing meditation, and now I'm doing metta, I'm doing that. Actually, sometimes how we live our life, you know, being harmless, you know, the whole path of practice, and then it's naturally you become kind. If you practice it, you know, if you really practice it correctly, if you really take up the whole path, you know, practice the generosity and your morality and cultivations of the calmness, the mind, and also the wisdom. And this is all come together, you naturally become kind. And as I look back, actually, yes, I said I have been practicing loving kindness, but I didn't identify that I'm practicing loving kindness. And a lot of people, I was thinking I was doing that, I was practicing it, but I just don't identify that I'm a kind person, I'm practicing loving kindness. So I said it's important that, you know, it's not only sitting on the meditation cushions that, you know, may I be well, may I be happy, and you try to, you know, like the man that tried to push, you know, that you have to have that within yourself. You feel, you know, you can feel within yourself when you have that softness, and you feel the openness within yourself. You feel more spacious, and you can feel the expansiveness within yourself, within your heart. You can feel it yourself, and you have that sense of warmth and care and gentleness within yourself. Then when you have that, then you'll be able to really share to be able to open up yourself to allow people to come into your heart. And that's why it's important we have it within ourselves first. So we have to help ourselves first. You know, if we can't help ourselves, we can't help others. You know, so that's very important. So I offer this for your Dharma reflections. May this teaching be of benefit. May it help you to develop this loving kindness and also lots of kindness and to be a happy person. So is there any questions and comments? Yes?
It says loving kindness is a powerful energy, right? A person who gives up loving kindness, people will be attracted to them. People will come near them.
Yeah.
Against a person who is like angry. So I think who must be able to attract to make a lover or whatever.
If you have that kind of thinking. So I think I have to repeat your questions because in the last talks, people said complaining that they can't hear the questions. The question is if someone have lots of loving kindness, it's very powerful. And you tend to attract people. And that's why you don't use, and yeah, it's because of the loving kindness. That is the wholesome state of mind, self qualities, that is absent of this great hatred and delusion. So, and you can feel someone have their loving kindness. It's really powerful because it's different because I experienced myself, someone have lots of loving kindness. You just naturally draw to that person. And you just feel happy to be with that person. And if someone negative, someone have lots of negativity, and you can feel it. Because I experienced myself, and one day I was walking into a room, and I just feel so uncomfortable. I just feel like so unpleasant. I feel very unpleasant feelings. So I said, what's happened to me? And then someone sitting next to me, then I was thinking, I said, you know, I have no ill will towards this person, but why make me feel unpleasant? And later, I discovered that person have gone through lots of negativities, have lots of angers in her mind. Actually, you can pick it up, you know. That's why, because of this loving kindness, actually, it's powerful. That's why sometimes those have lots of loving kindness, you know. It's actually, the Buddha did mention this is one of the benefits, you know. There's 11 benefits the Buddha's talk about this loving kindness. That first one, yes? That's right. The Buddha said there's 11 benefits. The first one, that is you sleep easily and you wake up easily. You have pleasant dream. You don't have, you know, pleasant dream. And all people likes you. But you don't think that you can do, you know, oh, I'm interested in that girl or in that boy. Maybe I practice loving kindness, you know. Then it doesn't work that way, you know. Because it's with the greed, you know. But it doesn't work that way. You have to be really unconditional. It's not that trying to get something out of it, you know. You know, lots of people like you. You know, you draw on people, tends to draw to people have lots of loving kindness, kind. And the devas, you know, the deities, celestial beings like you, loves you. And also the celestial beings will protect you. These deities, devas will protect you. And you will not have you're free from physical danger. And your face becomes radiant. You know, especially for women, it's very economical to practice loving kindness because of you don't have to go to this beauty salon and you don't have to put the facial, you know, the face cream, you know, save lots of money. I remember when I was a lay person, I used to go to this beauty salon, you know, for facial, you know, to make my face look good. So, and when I become a nun, I don't have to do that, you know. So that is one of the, it's very economical, you save lots of money. And yeah, and your mind becomes serene and you die with unconfused. And also you reborn in a good place, in a, like heavenly realm. And there's a lot of benefits in practicing loving kindness. But if you do, you know, if you're doing it right, because a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work because some people think that they try, it's become a deal, like a bargain, like, you know, okay, this mind is so cranky, it's so grumpy. Okay, I give you loving kindness, so make sure that you are not cranky and not, you are not grumpy. It doesn't work that way. You know, you have to be unconditional love even towards the cranky mind, the grumpy mind. You accept it, whatever mind state. You love your mind, you love yourself. You know, even though it's, you know, it's important. Is but if you think that you try to, you know, practice loving kindness, you know, to get rid of it, of course it doesn't work. So is there any more questions and comments? Snow? Okay. Then that's it.